Thank you for listening to the Grace Chapel Sermon of the Week. We hope you enjoy this message by our senior pastor, Kurt Henry. For more information about our church, visit our website at gracechapel.cc or follow us on social media at Grace Chapel, Ohio.
Our text this morning is Luke chapter 11, verses 27 through 32. Luke chapter 11, verses 27 through verse 32. Give me a second. I'm always the last one there. Give you more time to find it on your own. Verse 27, it begins. As he, that is Jesus, said these things, a woman in the crowd raised her voice and said to him, "Blessed is the womb that bore you and the breasts at which you nursed." Well, remember last week that Jesus delivered a mute man from a demon. He delivered him and healed him. And we remember that there were several responses to Jesus doing so. Some of the people were amazed. Other people said, listen, he did it by the power of a demon. And so we unpacked that last week as Jesus answered that accusation. And then there were still others who said, listen, we want to see more signs before we believe in Jesus. And so our text today addresses that whole issue of the people that want more signs. But before that, this woman spontaneously cries out, listen, she wants to honor Jesus and his family. And she basically says, you know, Jesus, you are so wonderful. I mean, your mother must feel very, very blessed to have you as her son. Well, Jesus responds in verse 28. But he, that is Jesus, said, blessed rather are those who hear the word of God and keep it. And so listen, Jesus receives her compliment here. He's not pushing back against that, and he leverages it. That is, he takes that intimate connection between a mother who bears her son, who nurses her son, and then that son grows up in such a way that he carries himself with wisdom and honor, and thus he blesses his mother back immensely. And so Jesus takes that and he leverages that, and he says an even more important connection, an even more important relationship, an even more important blessing than that is those who hear the word of God and keep it. That is, the place of blessing is the blessed life is found in those who hear the word of God and obey it. Verse 28 again says, but he said, blessed rather are those who hear the word of God, and here's that all-important word, and keep it. That is, it's not either or, it is both. And that is, it is not only hearing the word of God, but actually applying the word of God that we hear. That is, listen, it's one thing to listen to a sermon, it's one thing to read the Bible, but it's a whole nother thing to seek to apply it to your life, to put it into practice into your life. That is, listen, it's a great and wonderful thing to mark your Bible. But Jesus says, listen, that's halfway. Your Bible must mark you. James 1:22 says, but be doers of the word and not hearers only, deceiving yourselves. That is, listen, it is self-deception when we only hear the word of God and we do not do it. Blessing is found when we hear the word and we put it into practice. That is, if we think that, you know, hey, I went to church, or, you know, I listened to the sermon, thus, you know, I kind of checked off the box, I'm good. Jesus says, no, that's deception. You've shorted the process. Listen, you've aborted the blessing in your life. Blessing flows. Blessing comes when we put God's word into practice in our life. Listen, here is an incredibly important statement that I hope you emblazon on your mind, emblazon on your heart. Listen, this is the dividing line in the church today. It is the dividing line in culture today. And that is this. God's word must be the final authority for what we think and do in all things. That is, listen, it doesn't matter what my opinion is. It doesn't matter what your opinion is. It doesn't matter what culture says is enlightened or what it should be. It matters what God says. Hear me. Here is the dividing line. God's word must be your authority. It must tell you how to think and how you should behave. We submit to Christ's word in all things. For example, listen, you want your marriage to be blessed? Well, listen, read your Bible. Open it up and do what it tells you to do. Listen, don't try to make your marriage fit the culture. Don't try to take God's word and say, well, the culture says this, so let's modify it. Listen, make your marriage fit the Bible. That's where the blessing is. Do you want your kids to be blessed? Do you want to raise them up in the Lord? Well, listen, open your Bible in your home. Talk about it as you go about life. Pray with your kids. Listen, discipline your kids according to God's word. Prioritize worship over worldly pursuits. Listen, gang, we're going to stick out. We're going to become more and more oddballs in our culture. Our time, our money, our energy should be totally different than all our neighbors, from everyone else around us. We should have different priorities. We should stick out. And listen, live it. Be an example. That is, they should be able to look at you and say, oh, that's what that looks like. That is, blessing is found in obedience. Well, Jesus continues, verse 29. When the crowds were increasing, he began to say, this generation is an evil generation. It seeks for a sign, but no sign will be given to it except the sign of Jonah. Well, first off, I just want to have us note that Jesus validates, you know, the story of Jonah that people make fun of, right? You know, I mean, there's a lot of stories they could make fun of, but somehow, you know, Jonah gets picked on. The whole idea of a big fish swallowing a guy, you know, everybody thinks that's ridiculous. You really believe that? Well, Jesus did. He called it a historical fact. And not only that, we're going to see here in a moment that is something that will be appealed to in the final judgment when God judges Satan and his demons and everyone else who rejected his message of love. Well, let's take a look again at verse 29. When the crowds were increasing, he began to say, this generation is an evil generation. It seeks for a sign, but no sign will be given to it except the sign of Jonah. Well, how is Jonah a sign? Well, listen, we kind of have to know the story of Jonah, so let me just summarize it for us really quick. That is, Jonah was called by God to go and preach to a wicked people by the name of the Ninevites. And listen, Jonah hated the Ninevites because they had conquered the northern kingdom of Israel. And listen, they were extremely brutal. They skinned people alive. They drug people around through bracelets that they stuck through their noses and through their ears. They killed the children. They didn't spare the children. They were brutal. And so Jonah hated them. He didn't want anything to do with them. And so God calls him to go preach to them. And Jonah's like, I don't want to see them saved. And so he refuses to go. And he actually gets in a boat and he goes in the opposite direction. Well, here's the deal. Ultimately, he's found out. And the sailors on the boat say, hey, you know, who are you? And Jonah says, listen, I'm a prophet of God, and I'm supposed to go over there, but I'm not. I'm going over here. I'm being disobedient to God. And listen, instead of saying, you know, I know I need to obey. Let's turn the boat around. I'm ready to obey the will of God. Instead of saying that, he says, listen, just kill me. just throw me overboard in the deep. Which, side note, by the way, have you ever, you know, been in a situation where, you know, following God's will was so hard and so painful that you were just like, you know what, Lord, just take me home now. Just please take me home now. I don't want to walk through this. I don't want to have to do this, Lord. Well, this is where Jonah's at. You know, just throw me overboard, and he thinks it's over. You know, I'm done. I don't have to do the will of God. I'm good. It's over. But instead, God sends a fish to swallow him whole, and so Jonah is in this belly of this fish for 3 days. And experts tell us, you know, as a person being swallowed in a fish that way, which actually we have people that has actually happened to, but they would be digested in such a way that their skin would be bleached white. And listen, all their hair would be eaten away. There would just be portions of it. And so all that to say, Jonah would be one freaky looking dude. But in about the second day, listen, in the second day in the belly of that fish, Jonah finally repents. That is, it took him a while. It took him 2 days digesting in that fish before Jonah finally cries out to God and he repents. And so God responds, and the fish vomits him out on the third day on the shores of Nineveh. And Jonah goes into the town of Nineveh, and he preaches a one-sentence sermon. He says, repent, or God is going to smoke you. That's it. And listen, the king and every person in that city, down to the little ones, the Bible says, repented and entered into salvation. It's one of the greatest revivals recorded in history, 120,000 people plus, Jonah 4:11 says. Well, Jesus continues here in verse 30, and he says, for as Jonah became a sign to the people of Nineveh, so will the Son of Man be to this generation. So listen, in the same way that Jonah was in the belly of the fish for 3 days, and then he was brought up upon the earth, the Son of Man will be in the belly of the earth for 3 days, and he will rise again. And so Jesus is saying before them, listen, you're going to get one more sign, and that is my resurrection. Now, remember, he has performed many, many signs, many, many miracles up to this point. We've seen that in our study of Luke. So the question is not, whether Jesus has revealed himself clearly to be the Son of God. The question is whether they're going to choose to believe or simply harden their hearts over and over again. Verse 32. We'll come back to verse 31. We're going to skip to verse 32. The men of Nineveh will rise up at the judgment with this generation and condemn it, for they repented at the preaching of Jonah. And behold, something greater than Jonah is here. That is, Jesus is saying, listen, the wicked generation, the wicked Ninevites, they were seriously wicked. They repented from a one-sentence sermon from a rebellious prophet. You guys, you have the Son of God in your presence. Jesus is the Word. He is teaching you the Word. He is performing miracles, declaring his kingdom has come. And yet you refuse to believe. And so this generation, the Ninevites, will rise up in the final judgment of all things, and they will condemn you for how hard your hearts were. Verse 31, Jesus is going to give another Old Testament example here. The queen of the south will rise up at the judgment with the men of this generation and condemn them, for she came from the ends of the earth to hear the wisdom of Solomon. And behold, something greater than Solomon is here. So again, that's the same point. The Queen of Sheba and her entourage, listen, came all the way from Egypt. They traveled all the way from Egypt just to hear the wisdom of Solomon. They were that thirsty to hear the truth. They heard the truth. They acted on the truth. And yet someone greater than Solomon is in the midst of this generation. That is, where do you think Solomon got his wisdom in the first place? Jesus. The source of wisdom is standing right in front of them. And they still harden their hearts. So listen, the Queen of Sheba will rise up in the final judgment and her entourage, and they will condemn this generation for their hard hearts and unbelief. Well, let's read verse 31 and 32 again. There's a couple phrases I want us to see and highlight. The queen of the south will rise up at the judgment with the men of this generation and condemn them, for she came from the ends of the earth to hear the wisdom of Solomon, and behold, something greater than Solomon is here. The men of Nineveh will rise up at the judgment with this generation and condemn it, for they repented at the preaching of Jonah. And behold, something greater than Jonah is here. That is, the two phrases that I want us to note in those verses is something greater than Solomon is here. Something greater than Jonah is here. That is, the greater light of Jesus brought greater accountability to this generation. That is, they will be held accountable for what they heard. Well, listen, likewise, we will be held accountable. Listen, we have the complete revelation of God. We have the entire Word of God. We have the third person of the Godhead in our presence. He resides within us, the Holy Spirit. And so hear me, myself included, we will be held accountable. And so the only question for us is this: how will we respond? How will we respond to the Word of God. Listen, this is the dividing line in the church today. This is the dividing line in our culture today. This is the dividing line between Spirit-filled believers who make God's Word the final authority to what they think and do, and those who call themselves Christians who think and act like the world. How will you respond? How will you submit to what God's Word is telling you? Let's pray.
Thanks for listening. We hope you enjoyed this message. For more sermons like this, visit us online at gracechapel.cc.